It is time for the Week in Review. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, October 26th. We have two guests with us from different political perspectives to review with you the top political news stories of the week, from the latest in the race for president and U.S. Senate, to the tragic shooting in Brookfield on Sunday, to new grades for Wisconsin's schools, and other issues, including ones you want to suggest at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guests today are Kathleen Falk. She is the former Dane County executive, and she was a delegate to this year's Democratic National Convention. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Also with us is Dan Kopanky. He is a former Republican state senator from La Crosse, owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Dan.
It's good to have you. Really good to have you both here. Let's talk politics right off the bat. President Obama is going to be making another stop in Wisconsin. Announced yesterday that he will be visiting Green Bay on Tuesday, exactly a week from Election Day. Details are still to come on that. Vice President Joe Biden is in the state today. I think he's going to be at UW Oshkosh and UW Parkside in Kenosha. We just heard that Mitt Romney is going to be in the state as well. Details will be announced today that he is planning a trip on Monday to the Milwaukee area. And Vice President Paul Ryan will be campaigning in Wisconsin on Wednesday before spending Halloween trick-or-treating with his kids in Janesville. So talk about a lot of action. What does this attention to Wisconsin tell you, Kathleen Falk?
That once again, Wisconsin is going to be helping decide who our next president is, that we are one of the key battleground states. And I'm ready to vote. In fact, I'm going to do early voting right after I leave the studio here.
Well, we'll talk about early voting as well. But Dan Kopanky, what does it tell you?
Well, obviously, as Kathleen stated, Wisconsin is certainly in play. And if you look at the map and the states and the electoral votes, Ohio is the key, as it has been. And the loser of Ohio, whoever that is going to depend more on Wisconsin and Iowa than ever before. So that's why they're in the Midwest, they're in Wisconsin, and it's good for us to see these candidates firsthand up front.
Yeah, there are a lot of different polls out this week. It seems a new one every day. These polls since the last presidential debate, which we can talk about in a moment. I think there's a national Gallup poll showing Mitt Romney in the lead, but different polls in different battleground states give President Obama the lead. Is it fair, do you think, to say, Dan Kopanky, that this race is tied right now?
I think that's very fair to say. Again, you know, it's gonna come down to the key battleground states: Ohio, Florida, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, maybe Iowa. So, yeah, it's very even, and that's why there's so much activity going on in the campaigns on both sides.
Mm-hmm. You think it's tied, Kathleen Falk?
I think it's very close, but I think the polling shows that President Obama is ahead and has been, and it's not surprising to me. You know, given that elections are about the future. And President Obama is the one that people trust to be talking about in solving these big problems of national security and growing our economy. And that's why I think he's ahead, and that's why I think he will win.
You know, there was a lot of talk about Mitt Romney's surge after the first presidential debate, that he started going up in the polls after that debate. The third and final presidential debate was held on Monday night in Boca Raton, Florida. Do you think, Kathleen Falk, that President Obama recovered from that first debate performance?
I think what we saw this week was just the epitome of why I believe President Obama will be reelected. He has been the commander in chief. He was in command of the international scene. He kept the promises he made to us. He got us out of Iraq. He is ending the war in Afghanistan. He accomplished getting Osama bin Laden. And he has led an international core of nations get the kind of security measures, whether it's Syria or other places, that keep the world at peace. It's not a surprise to me that Colin Powell just this week, although he says he's still a Republican, has endorsed President Obama. We saw in that debate a commander-in-chief who has led us to peace and will keep us at peace.
What was your takeaway from that debate, Dan Panky?
Well, obviously mine is slightly different than Kathleen's, and I thought that certainly the strategy for candidate Romney was simply to draw even on the national scale as far as his answers were concerned, and when it comes to domestic economic policy and who's better for America, people are looking for changes there because the last 4 years hasn't worked. Our debt has gone up to $16 trillion. People have lost the real buying value with their income. And on the national stage, I think Governor Romney proved that he is presidential and he will make a very good president.
What I think he proved, Dan, that evening was that he'll say whatever it takes to get elected. You know, he spent a year and a half in a primary and on the campaign trail taking pot shots at the president on Iran, on Afghanistan, on Syria, on a host of international issues. You know, he then went and did, Governor Romney did his tour of Europe and embarrassed our country by his performance. And yet at the debate the other night, you'd almost have thought he was interviewing to be the next Secretary of State because he literally agreed with the president and what the president has done. And so, you know, it's why people don't trust him.
He was agreeing with a lot of what the president had to say, wasn't he, Dan?
Well, I don't think it's bad for candidates to agree on some of the major issues. I don't think that's necessarily a negative at all. Again, Governor Romney proved that he is presidential. He will be a leader on the worldwide stage and certainly at home as far as leading this country out of the fiscal mess that we've been in for some time, and we've seen no improvements over the last 4 years.
Well, that's certainly not the case, and again, why I think President Obama will be reelected. You know, President Obama inherited the worst fiscal mess since the Great Depression, and that President Bush had led us down to. And not only did President Obama stop the hemorrhaging, but we've now been on a steady path of recovery for our economy. And President Obama is the one with the plan, the economic plan here, to keep us on the right path. And instead, Governor Romney would have us going back to the same failed policies of President Bush with its big trickle-down tax breaks, $5 trillion in tax breaks for the wealthiest.
Let me bring in a caller, Dave in Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hello. Yesterday, Colin Powell endorsed Barack Obama, and I have a different political belief than Colin Powell. I'm a liberal, and he's more conservative. And I think of Colin Powell as a man with an integrity and independent, and he's a thoughtful guy. And I listened to what he said when he did the endorsement, and he laid it out, and he said, President Obama is a man with a broad, positive vision for the direction of the country. And he knows Mitt Romney, but he said he has unanswered questions about his economic plans. And he said he's been disturbed by Romney's inconsistencies in his foreign policy.
Yeah. So, Dan Kopanky, Kathleen mentioned this endorsement. Do you think this is a big deal or not?
Well, I mean, this is America, and the general certainly has that right and ability to endorse whoever he wants. I just respectfully have to disagree with that endorsement, but he has a right to do so. And again, I think that when we look at the last 4 years, and by the way, you know, blaming 8 years of President Bush is a little bit old, and amongst the electorate out here, as I listen to him talk, it's time for the president to stand up and take responsibility for where we are as a country with $16 trillion in debt, hasn't passed a budget. The U.S. Senate has not passed a budget in over 3 years. Our deficits have been over $1 trillion. And the question that people have out here at their breakfast table is, you know, what are we passing on to the next generation? And it's a huge debt. I remember as a candidate in 08, then candidate Obama saying that it is unpatriotic to have the kind of deficits and debt that existed under the Bush administration. Well, he's taken office and it's gotten much worse.
If I can respond to Dan's points about budgets not being passed. You know, when President Obama was elected, we had the Republicans in Congress declare their number one goal being to make sure our president doesn't succeed. And, you know, just as an American, I find that so offensive and irresponsible. You know, we elect people to work together, and while we can have strong views that differ, there is common ground, and we expect them to do their jobs and work together. So when you set out saying you want a president to fail, it's no wonder it's hard to pass a budget. But if you look at what Governor Romney is offering, he's offering to cut $5 trillion in taxes, mostly for the wealthy, add $2 trillion for the military beyond what the military has asked for, and yet he doesn't explain the math of how he will solve a deficit given that massive kind of cuts in revenue and increases in spending.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the issues that happened during the debate. You mentioned, Kathleen, that Governor Romney agreed with President Obama on just about everything, but he did have this to say about what some Republicans call the apology tour that President Obama took in his first term. Let's take a listen to that.
Mr. President, the reason I call it an apology tour is because you went to the Middle East and you flew to Egypt and to Saudi Arabia and to Turkey and Iraq. And by the way, you skipped Israel, our closest friend in the region. But you went to the other nations. And by the way, they noticed that you skipped Israel. And then in those nations, and on Arabic TV, you said that America had been dismissive and derisive. You said that on occasion, America had dictated to other nations. Mr. President, America has not dictated to other nations. We have freed other nations from dictators.
From dictators. Kathleen Paul?
Well, I think the Governor Romney's use of language of apology has been fact-checked wrong by a number of fact-checkers. Certainly the president wasn't apologizing for our country. I think our president then was trying to set a stage internationally that he is somebody who is both modest and wants to work with the international community. And that is what he has done. And that is why we have the peace now that he has brought us to by getting us out of Iraq, by this plan for complete withdrawal in Afghanistan by 2014, by getting Osama bin Laden, and by the fact that he has worked with the international community of nations in Syria and other places to make sure that we have a path to peace here. In great contrast, again, to Governor Romney, who, when asked what is our biggest international threat, says Russia, which I think most people would disagree with.
Yeah, indeed, President Obama made reference to that in the debate, saying that the 1980s called and they want their foreign policy back. He also said this to when Governor Romney talked about the size of our naval fleet, that it was smaller today than it was back in the early 1900s.
You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed.
So, Dan Kopanky, did President Obama successfully paint Governor Romney as out of touch with current military needs and foreign policy issues?
Of course, I don't believe that. No, he didn't. And I thought it was some remarks that were somewhat unfortunate and condescending on the president's part that he didn't have to do. And also, the governor has mentioned that a nuclear capability of Iran is a huge problem as far as national security is concerned. So he has stated the issues well on the international scene. And also, you know, we haven't talked about Benghazi, but there are a whole myriad of unanswered questions surrounding what happened there.
Yeah, let me bring that up because the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi really didn't dominate the debate all that much on Monday night, but it is getting a lot more attention this week. Do you think, Dan Kopanky, there was some sort of cover-up by the administration over what happened?
I don't think that we can go that far, but I think that, again, questions need to be answered as to what kind of information was available, when was it available, and to whom was it available. I mean, we know that there were at least two drones that were over in that area, and we've seen some reports even in the last 24 hours of actually what happened that night there. So It's just very, very unfortunate that we lost four great Americans, including an ambassador, and we had reinforcements close by that may have been able to help out in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen Fall?
Well, it certainly is tragic. And, you know, President Obama immediately responded by saying there will be a full investigation. Both Congress is also doing a full investigation, and the Secretary of State is carrying out that investigation with a goal here that whatever can be done in the future to prevent this kind of loss of life is what we need to do.
We had, if I may add to that, on June 6th, I believe, of this year, there was an explosion there at the consulate. There were issues surrounding that area in Libya, and it seems like the proper steps were not made to ensure that proper security was there for our people. And our foreign diplomats deserve much better than what they received over there in Libya.
You know, there's also a story this week about whether Secretary of State Hillary Clinton would stay on as Secretary of State should President Obama win another term. There's another story talking about how Senator John Kerry is being groomed to take over the Secretary of State position. Is she grooming herself for a run for president, Kathleen?
Well, she continues to say no, but I think there's a whole lot of us out here who would like her to. But she has done a fabulous job as Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm. Any reaction, Dan?
Well, you know, considering that she was the chief rival to President Obama and then she's Secretary of State, I got to take my hat off to her for how she's handled that situation. Now, you could talk about, again, what happened in Benghazi and in world affairs and everything, and there could be some differences. But just in that one issue alone, as far as serving for the president whom she tried to defeat, that says a lot about her.
Well, I'm going to take a call from Lenny in Madison next. Hello, Lenny.
Good morning. I watched the debate, and I was really taken by the fact that Governor Romney didn't seem to know that Iran isn't landlocked. Iran has almost 1,000 miles of coastline on the Arabian Sea. And Afghanistan does not border Syria. And he was way off on the Libya thing because, you know, I think the press gave Governor Romney a free pass on Syria because he was giving a press conference while it was going on. There's no way he really knew what was going on when he was giving that press conference.
All right. Dan Kopanky, does Mitt Romney know what's going on?
I think that the debate Monday night proved that he has a command of the international issues. And he will be a great worldwide leader.
What the debate Monday night showed is that he agreed with the president on almost every international issue.
Well, you know, the 9/11 attacks are in the news these days. They're being resurrected in the race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. A Republican candidate, former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, released an ad this week saying that Democratic candidate Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin did not vote for a bill to help the families of the victims of 9/11 or to the first responders to 9/11. Let's take a listen to a clip of that ad.
Tammy Baldwin had the opportunity to vote to honor the victims of 9/11, and she voted against it.
Congresswoman Baldwin's campaign was outraged by this, said that she didn't vote for that particular bill because there were other add-ons that didn't belong in that bill, but has voted for many other similar bills to help those affected by 9/11. The Baldwin campaign then released another ad criticizing Tommy Thompson's performance post 9/11 when he was Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. Let's take a listen to a portion of that.
And Tommy Thompson? He got a government contract to provide health care to 9/11 first responders. But Tommy took advantage, leaving them without the care they were promised.
All right. Well, Kathleen Falk, what's your reaction to these dueling 9/11 ads?
That I think it shows that, you know, Tommy Thompson is desperate. It's just kind of shocking how desperate he must feel to have aired that TV ad. When Congresswoman Baldwin, on no less than 9 occasions, voted for resolutions to support the victims of 9/11 and the first responders that served them. And that caused the first responders around the country to be outraged, as well as the victims. Leaders of the organizations representing the victims have just reacted with enormous frustration with Tommy Thompson, saying that when he was serving as Secretary of Health and Human Services under President Bush, that he was resistant to their pleas for help, in contrast to Congresswoman Baldwin, who was one of the first from outside of New York to offer assistance and support for the victims. And then on top of that, when Secretary Thompson left the administration to go to the private sector, has made about $3 million, according to his own finance reports, from Logistics Health, the very company that was hired to help the 911 victims. So just very painful to those victims and first responders to have Tommy Thompson politicize so inappropriately and inaccurately Congresswoman Baldwin's stalwart support for victims of the 911.
Dan Kopanky?
Well, I would just say that I believe that vote was 395-22 in this resolution in 2006. So she was one of 22 voting against it. I think that she has not come clean as to why she did not vote for that. It's not real clear why she didn't, and why wouldn't she?
She vote
for that resolution. And then, she turns around and attacks Tommy Thompson, the former governor, for making money in the private sector. And that's that yarn we've heard over and over again about the 1%, and it's again, that's getting old. The 1% in this country pay 40% of all federal income taxes in this country. How much more do we want from the wealthy or the 1%?
Well, let's not get into that right now, but you wanted to say
Congresswoman Baldwin has very clearly said why she voted against that one resolution, because it was loaded up with some other Republican agendas that had no business on such a resolution.
But 395, in a very bipartisan manner, in fact, did vote for that resolution.
Well, that's what people are tired about, Dan. And Dan, knowing what I know about you, I suspect you would also feel the same, that people are sick of that kind of grandstanding on bills that get loaded up with things that aren't okay. You know, for Congresswoman Baldwin to have voted nine times to support the 9/11 victims, it's why in just an hour from now there is a press conference at the War Memorial in Milwaukee of first responders and advocates for the victims of 9/11 to speak out on their outrage against what Tommy Thompson is doing to politicize that horrific incident in our nation's history.
Boy, I'm way past break time. We have lots of other issues to cover as our week in review continues. We're going to talk about God's will and some other issues coming up in just a moment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. If you want to talk about the issues in the news this week or bring up an issue in the news this week that you want our two guests to discuss. We are talking with Kathleen Falk, who is former Dane County Executive, a delegate to this year's Democratic National Convention, and Dan Kopanky, who is a former Republican State Senator from La Crosse. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you will stay tuned. And I hope you will join Frederica Freiberg tonight on Here and Now on Wisconsin Public Television. She'll be talking with Government Accountability Board Executive Director Kevin Kennedy about early voting across the state and other issues coming up here and now. Tonight at 7:30 on Wisconsin Public Television. Let's just talk briefly about early voting. President Obama became the first sitting president to vote early, and he's been encouraging people to vote early. You just mentioned, Kathleen Falk, that you were going to vote early as soon as you got off the air. Why? Why should we vote early?
As a mom who so often had to run from work, get my child at child care, and get to the polling place in time. I know how election day can be for lots of working moms and dads. And so I thought if I vote early, it's one less person on election day that that might make it easier for working people to get to vote.
And are you going to be voting early, Dan? Dan Kopanke, are you going to vote early? Did we lose our Dan?
I don't hear him.
So let's try again. We will see if we lost our connection there. And we will perhaps talk about another issue while we try to reestablish contact with Dan Kopanke. Let's talk about God's will. President Obama is criticizing Indiana Republican Senate candidate Richard Murdoch for his comments about women and rape. And President Obama is saying rape is rape. Murdoch said during a debate on Tuesday night that when pregnancy results from rape, that this is something God intended, that that he does not support an exception for rape when it comes to abortion. So Mitt Romney's campaign says he disagrees with Murdoch's comments, but he is still supporting Murdoch's Senate campaign. He's appearing in ads supporting the Senate campaign. I'm wondering, Kathleen Falk, what you make of all of this.
Well, shocking and hard to believe in this day and age of the year 2012 that we are refighting fights that, you know, I thought when I was 18 we had won. You know, at my age of 61, I thought that our basic rights for reproductive health choices had been settled, that we wouldn't be facing what is really such outdated and incorrect biology. You know, when Congressman Aiken made his comments a few months ago to suggest that when a woman is raped, that she can control whether she gets pregnant. Now with this candidate Murdoch's statement that someone who is raped is quote, something God intended if a pregnancy occurs, it shows how far out of touch and extreme the Republican agenda is on women's reproductive choices. Because the Republican agenda, you know, opposes a right to choose even in case of rape or incest or the life of a woman. Now, getting this back here to Wisconsin and our choices, vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan voted to narrow the definition of rape and opposes a woman's right to choose under even these most commonly accepted exceptions. Tommy Thompson has embraced the pro-life agenda, again, opposing our rights to the most basic reproductive health choices. And in addition to our right to choose, which is squarely at stake in this election, is a whole host of other reproductive health decisions that the Republican agenda is hostile to women on. For example, in the Affordable Health Care Act, where now it is illegal under the Affordable Health Care Act to discriminate against women in providing insurance that will provide for birth control or maternity services without having to pay an extra copay. This is what this election is about. It would be rolling us back decades to a time and day and place where women don't have access to the health care or the rights that we should have.
Let me jump in because we did reestablish our line with Dan Kopanke. That's okay.
I don't know what happened, but
yeah, sometimes
we're back.
Telephone lines are funny. So let me. Kathleen was responding to the story in the news this week about Senate candidate Republican Richard Murdoch this week saying in a debate that, to make a long story short, when pregnancy results from rape, that this is something God intended, which is causing a big uproar. Mitt Romney disagrees with that statement, but is still backing and supporting the Senate campaign of Richard Murdoch. Your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, God never intends that bad things happen to us. But we live in a world of sin, and there is crime. And unfortunately, rapes do take place. Pro-life people believe that a life is a life, and we should protect the sanctity of life. That's, I believe, where Mr. Murdoch was coming from. I don't know. I can't read his mind or anything, but people believe, pro-life people believe that a life is a life and it should be protected. Unfortunately, again, the crimes do take place, and rape is one of those, and it's very disgusting.
So is the Republican agenda that Kathleen mentioned hostile to women?
Absolutely not. I think you have to look at the recent polls showing that Governor Romney has come from, I believe he was 18 points down as far as female voters were concerned, and now it's a dead heat. And so are we hostile to women? That poll certainly would indicate otherwise. And secondly, I think that the women are they're in the business world, they're family people, they're very, very intelligent, and in many cases, women, you know, run the household checkbook. And when they look at the two candidates, women men believe that Governor Romney is best to handle what's going on domestically as far as our fiscal situation is concerned.
Quick response.
Well,
Kathleen.
Yeah, there's a whole lot at stake here. Let's start with a few other issues besides the issues of reproductive health choices that I've already spoken about. Lilly Ledbetter Pay Equity Act, you know, it is one of the first bills that President Obama signed so that women have a remedy when they are paid only 70 cents to the dollar that a man makes. Not only has Governor Romney not spoken out about what he would do about that, but Vice President candidate Paul Ryan voted against the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act.
Because I don't mean to interrupt, but we have so many other issues. What about Dan saying, though, that the polls show the gender gap narrowing between the candidates, that women don't care about that?
I think that most people don't know that Governor Romney and candidate Tommy Thompson would defund Planned Parenthood. I don't think most people know about that. You don't see that in the TV ads. That didn't come up in the debates. And that's why programs like this are important, because it drills down to what these candidates are actually saying in their campaign literature. To defund Planned Parenthood with all the health services of maternity screenings, sexual disease screenings, breast cancer screenings, that's how extreme these candidates are, both Governor Romney and Tommy Thompson, that they are so far out of sync with what women view as very basic.
Yeah, if
I could quick respond.
Yes.
If you look at, again, the experience, the business life of Governor Romney, his experience as governor of the state of Massachusetts, if you look at Tommy Thompson and his experience and what he did here in the state of Wisconsin, I think the record would show that what Kathleen is saying is simply not true.
Well, the problem is Tommy Thompson's not running on his record of what he did as governor. He's running as a new person, way out of sync with what he did as governor, and that's why people don't understand why he is so far to the right on reproductive choice, on the Affordable Health Care Act, on ending Medicare as we know it. Those are his words.
Well, again, if we don't remodel and overhaul Medicare, I think we can all agree that Medicare is not going to be around. So something has to be done. Paul Ryan had the courage a few years ago to come forth with a program to save Medicare, to make it sustainable for the long haul, so that young people can enjoy some of the benefits that those of us who are close to Medicare, receiving Medicare, will get. But you know what happened to that proposal. I mean, it was demonized. We're shoving little ladies off the cliff, so on and so forth. But we need leaders who are bold, who don't worry about their personal careers, political careers, and come forth with initiatives that address the major issues that face this country. Medicare, Social Security, $16 trillion in debt, budgets that are not balanced. Those are the things that people out here in Wisconsin and throughout this nation are looking for: leadership, people that will address these major issues.
Another major issue that happened this week, and it's somewhat related to issues that women care about, is that tragic shooting in Brookfield on Sunday. It was a domestic violence related shooting. A man went into a spa in Brookfield and killed his estranged wife and two others and killed himself. Apparently, there's some concern that police might have might have missed some warning signals here, including being called to the couple's home 20 times in the past with no arrests. And there was a case where the suspect actually, you know, had a gun drawn, no arrest. What lessons do we learn from this, Kathleen Falk, this particular case?
That we need to enforce the domestic violence laws that require mandatory arrest. As you said, Joy, what the information now is showing us is that about 10-20 times over the last decade, police were called to this household, including only a year or so ago, where the police actually thought they saw a gun, and yet there was no arrest. In Wisconsin, it's a mandatory arrest in a domestic violence situation, and it is just breaks your heart to see the record here and the failure for intervention at a much earlier stage. And I'm sure Dan would agree with that. So let me just also, though, respond very briefly to what Dan said last on Medicare, because it is such a big issue here. And to so many of us, you know, President Obama and Congresswoman Baldwin, they did the responsible step in trying to help fix the Medicare funding program by the Affordable Care Act, which saves money and extends the life of Medicare. That's a responsible action. Eliminating Medicare as we know it, that promise that we know it, is not a responsible action.
Yeah. Your response back to the shooting on Sunday, Dan Kopanky.
Well, our hearts and prayers go out to the families of the victims. It is so unfortunate, and again proves again that people who are bent on criminal activity are going to find a way to commit that. And can we have enough safety measures in place and so on and so forth? And I think, again, there'll be a thorough investigation of this, and we'll know exactly what has taken place and what steps should have been taken place, if any, and how we proceed from here.
Well, we're way past break time once again, so let me remind listeners that this is The Week in Review. We are talking with Dan Kopanky, former Republican state senator from La Crosse, and Kathleen Falk, former Dane County executive delegate to this year's Democratic National Convention. We'll talk about other issues in the news this week, including some issues in the state of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Here we go.
There it goes.
Wisconsin Public Radio's oldest transmission tower came down with a boom on Wednesday of this week. In our Week in Review quiz question today, where was this transmitter located? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Call in with your guess, your answer. We'll randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers, and the winner receives a choice of books that we have featured on the program recently. So where was the transmitter located that came down with the boom this week? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Week in Review, talking today with Kathleen Falk and Dan Kopanky. And we have talked about the latest news in the presidential race. We talked about the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin. And while we can't necessarily discuss every single congressional race in the state, we have been doing candidate forums all this week with candidates running in Wisconsin's different congressional districts. We just talked to the candidates running in Wisconsin's 8th congressional district in our last hour. Earlier this week, we talked with the candidates in the 2nd congressional district. Now, the 2nd congressional district is the only open district in the state, because Tammy Baldwin is not running for re-election for her House seat. She's running for Senate. So Wisconsin will get at least one new U.S. representative after the November elections. Will it be Democrat Mark Pocan or Republican Chad Lee? Kathleen Falk?
Well, Chad Lee has tried before and got pretty walloped, I think, 2-1. And Mark Pocan is just a great leader, and I think he'll win and be a great congressman.
Do you want to dispute that, Dan?
No, I think we'll agree on Kathleen on this one. I know that Chad Lee is a wonderful candidate. He's a young man. I think he owns his own business. He's the type of person that really we need in Washington. He's in a tough district. He's up against a veteran legislator, and it'll be a tough race.
So we also this week heard from Democratic Congressman Ron Kind in the 3rd Congressional District and his Republican challenger, Ray Boland. That's your neck of the woods, Dan Kopanky. Is there any reason to think Congressman Kind's job is at risk?
Well, Colonel Boland is a tremendously qualified candidate, served so many years in the U.S. military, including Vietnam and, I believe, Desert Storm, and, led the Veterans Department in Madison for, I believe, a dozen years. Just a outstanding, patriotic American who's done a great job in his debates with the congressman. He's common sense. He's got a great background of leadership as a colonel in the U.S. Army. Again, he's up against a tough candidate. I know that firsthand. And the 3rd District has been blue for some time. And I think it'll be a closer race than what people anticipate at this point. And who knows? The top of the ticket can have an influence here.
You're not too far away, Dan Kopanky, from the 7th Congressional District. What's your take on that particular race?
Well, I believe that the congressman, current sitting congressman, Sean Duffy, it will prevail here. He will win another term there. He's worked very, very hard, instrumental in his first term run to force the retirement of Dave Obie, if you will. I don't think there's any secret that Congressman Obie, longtime congressman, was in trouble up there, and Sean won that seat then, and I believe he'll be reelected.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen?
Yeah, I think that the north of Highway 29 here, we're going to see change. Both sitting congressmen Duffy and Ribble, they are going out of their way to avoid debates. When they do speak, they look like they're trying to run to the middle, but it isn't how they vote. They're voting with the Tea Party. They are voting the rabid far right line in Congress, and that's just not Wisconsin. It's not Wisconsin north of Highway 29. So I think Pat Kreitlow and Jamie Wall will be elected to Congress because they are, I think, reflect what most Wisconsinites in those districts care and feel.
Well, obviously, I would disagree with that. Congressman Ribble has been a wonderful congressman in his first term, and he's working very hard to be reelected. He's solid. He's a businessman. He understands the private sector, and it's, again, the private sector that needs to grow jobs and get us out of this fiscal mess that we're in. And Reed Ribble has been a wonderful congressman. He'll be reelected.
And we also have Rob Zurbin, who's running in the southern part of the state, in the seat that Vice President candidate Paul Ryan now holds. But again, Vice President candidate isn't here campaigning. He won't do the debates with Rob Zurbin. So I don't think people appreciate that. I think you kind of got to decide what job you want. And running for two at the same time is not a way here to get support back at home.
Well, quite frankly, I think that, I don't know if Paul Ryan actually sought the Vice President a nomination, but he was called, and being the person that he is and what he knows about budgets, he's the right man for that job. And the people in that district, his district, will certainly reelect him. I don't think there's any question about that.
Let's move on quickly because we're almost out of time. Another story in the news this week involved the son of Republican State Senator Neil Kedzie. Senator Kedzie says his son was beat up because his son had a Mitt Romney yard sign, and he tried to stop a couple of guys from stealing his yard sign. Dan Kopanky, do you have any reaction to this story?
Just very, very unfortunate that the senator's son was hurt in this fracas. Again, these people were violators. They trespassed. They should have been called. They should have been stopped. And certainly that type of activity is not condoned by anybody.
Mm-hmm. Any word? Any
I agree, Dan.
Yeah, well, it's Let's do that. We also had a story this week on. I don't know if we have time to do this, but I'm going to try to fit it in. There was a report card on Wisconsin schools. Most of the Wisconsin schools using new criteria got a passing grade on this report card. Kathleen Falk, your thoughts on the grades this week?
I hope we always set our sights higher than just passing. And I suspect most moms and dads in the state feel the same way. I think we all ought to be getting up every single day and making sure that our schools are stronger than ever, and never rest complacent with the education that our kids are getting. And I think teachers and school staff and moms and dads everywhere would have that same view.
Mm-hmm. Dan Kopanky?
Well, I think all of us are delighted with that report, and I agree with Kathleen. You know, it just because we've got a good report doesn't mean we stop what we're doing. We got to continue. We got to press forward and certainly prepare these students for the next phase of their lives, whether it be going on to a higher ed or into the workforce or whatever the case may be.
The state of Wisconsin also this week settled a federal lawsuit brought by Republican Mitt Romney's campaign seeking more time for military and overseas voters from Wisconsin to return ballots that were sent after a federal deadline for mailing them. Dan Kopanky, was this a big deal?
Well, you know, I think that it's good to nip this sort of thing at its beginning. We certainly don't want this to spread. You know, the right moves were made, and people are going to get a right to an opportunity to vote. And I think it's, again, the outcome is positive.
Apparently, this involved only four ballots. Two of the ballots had been returned already. Kathleen Falk, was this a big deal?
No, people need to have the right to vote, and it's been resolved.
It's been resolved. Okay. Well, let's announce that Robert in LaPointe is our quiz winner. The transmission tower of Wisconsin Public Radio's oldest transmission tower came down with a boom on Wednesday. It was located in Brule in the far northern part of the state. It was there for 60 years. One charge was set at the base of the tower. Another charge was set about 10 feet high, 10 feet on the old WHSA tower. WPR regional technical manager Steve Bowder says the 30 pounds of dynamite that were used blew out a 6 to 10 foot piece of steel, causing the tower to lean in one direction and eventually topple. A new tower erected at the site this summer will offer a better signal for northern Wisconsin, for Wisconsin Public Radio. So congratulations to Robert in LaPointe for getting that one right. And I think we have time to ask you. I wanted to ask you, Dan Kopanky, if you're following the World Series that got underway this week.
Of course I am. Trying to. I was at an event last night, so I couldn't. But it's interesting. San Francisco is really got hot here at the end, and they're on a roll. It's going to be hard for Detroit. We have in lacrosse here, we have a special interest in the Detroit Tigers because Max Scherzer, one of their top pitchers, pitched here in lacrosse in 2004. So we're following that team very closely, and they're down 2-0 right now. So we'll see what happens.
Who are you rooting for, Kathleen Falk?
I'm with Dan. I'm rooting for the Tigers. Dan, we have our baseball in common. I love baseball too.
And awesome.
How can we not root for Detroit, right?
There you go. There you go. And, well, you got to come to lacrosse then sometime, Kathleen, and attend a Loggers game. I think you'd like it.
I know I would.
That is great. Well, here we ended on a nice bipartisan agreement here on rooting for Detroit. All right. Thank you so much, Dan Kopanky, for being with us.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And Kathleen Falk, thank you, too.
Thank you.
Kathleen Falk, former Dane County Executive. Dan Kopanky, former Republican State Senator. Thanks very much to both of them for being with us for the weekend review. You know, I'm going to be off on Monday for a medical appointment. I believe Jean Purcell will be filling in for me. There will be more talk about state politics during our state capitol report on Monday from 7 until 8. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.